usually, you know, your hormone imbalances, they're not the root cause.
So much of our hormonal imbalance comes from these bigger things.
You know, we've separated from ourselves, we've separated from our joy, we've separated from connection. When we're allowed to really, really feel into that power, and then we become powerful. Maybe my body isn't broken. I am enough as I am.
Welcome back to Healthy as a Mother. I'm your co-host, Dr. Leah Gordon, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Morgan and I share the natural women's health and motherhood guidance you've been looking for through a fresh, functional, and balanced lens. Today, I have the honor of interviewing Samantha, aka the Hormone Goddess, all about women's health, our power, our hormones, how we suppress anger, and how that is so rooted in feminine power, connecting to joy and the nervous system and all of these things that are underlying the root causes of hormonal imbalances. It is a juicy episode. I cannot wait to share Samantha with you. She is just incredible. She is a health and hormone and somatic coach, a womb witch, and a speaker and author. She has written a book called The Hormone Goddess. She is absolutely lovely. I loved every second of this interview, so let's get started. Oh my goodness, Sam, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. I cannot wait because I've been following you for a while and I'm just kind of getting to know you myself along with everyone else who's listening. So before we get started talking about all the juicy things about women, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and what got you into this world?
Yeah. So my name is Sam. I'm a women's health and hormone coach, somatics coach, womb witch and priestess as well, and also author. But I think like so many practitioners who work in this area, I got into this because of my own history, my own experience with health and hormones. I mean, it's a long story and this is very much a shortened version of it, but essentially I spent most of my life on the birth control pill. So I was put on the pill for heavy periods, painful periods, acne, when I was about 13, so quite a young age. And then after I had children, I reached a certain point where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I hadn't started down this path. I hadn't learned anything. I just knew that I didn't want to take the pill anymore. And it was okay for a while. But then what happened was I was in this period of trauma. And just essentially trauma after trauma after trauma. It's, I always say my life is like a soap opera in this phase because everything that could go wrong essentially went wrong. It was really, really intense. And then when I came out at that period, literally my health, my hormones just completely fell apart. I was a smoking wreck, essentially. I had all this weight gain that just wouldn't shift no matter what I did, no matter what how much I exercised. What I ate, my hair fell out in clumps. And I think that for me was the worst one. It was horrendous. I look back at photos at that time and it's really difficult to see. My acne came back with a vengeance. And I had this horrendous crippling anxiety that just, you know, my mind was always spinning, always whirring, just always on the go. And then painful periods, heavy periods. I used to have to crawl up the stairs because I was so scared that if I would stand, I would flood. And so all of these things. And beyond the advice of, why don't you go back on the pill, which I was really adamant that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Nobody could really tell me what was going on because I'd worked in the health industry for a long time. I was eating the right foods. I say right foods in inverted commas. Yeah. I was doing the right things, again, in inverted commas, and nobody could really tell me what to do. And so I started, maybe because I have this Scorpio energy, I have a lot of Scorpio things in my astrology chart, this inner determination, this inner stubbornness. And so I started learning myself. I was like, I don't accept this. I do not accept this. And I essentially what I came to realize was my health had collided with my trauma. All of these things I'd been holding, they'd essentially caught up with me. And it was my body saying, no more, you need to stop. You need to slow down. You need to actually process what you've been through, process all of these things you're holding on to. But again, I started training because I was like, I need, it's not just me. There are so many women. Nearly every woman I talk to mm-hmm. has experienced these things. Nearly every woman I speak to deserves this support. Mm-hmm. And so again, yeah, I started training and I loved it. But it enraged me as well. So I love it. It enraged me. And I'm sure you're the same. The more I learn, the more, and I love learning. I am such a nerd. I just love learning and reading and researching, going down rabbit holes. But the more I learn, the more enraged I become as well. Why are we not taught this? Why are women not given this information from a younger age? Why are we not taught this at school? Mm-hmm. And so that became that. And that's why I started my page as well. I wanted to share these things.
That's amazing. Wow. What a powerful story. I don't know how much you know about my story, but it's very similar in lots of, I always say everything that has to do with womanhood went wrong for me. And, you know, whether it was hormones, you know, migraines, trauma, sexual trauma, infertility with my husband, you know, birth stuff, C-sections when I wanted home births, you know, just a lot that went on there. And so I feel so passionate about this work as well, based on a lot of my own personal experiences. But I do think it's sad that the way that our culture is that in order for people to learn this, we have to have these women that go through these extreme situations that then have so much conviction to go back and try to teach it when it should be. I talk about this all the time, especially why it resonated so much with your posts about why women should be taught this in school. Because the amount of time, at least in the States, that we spend on things like algebra and calculus, like math things that I've never, ever, ever needed. Or just, I mean, and I love history, you know, and all that, questionable how accurate it is, but just the amount of time that we spend on arguably useless things for so many people. Like, yes, if you're going to go on and be an engineer or whatever, go into that. But the fact that we are all women, like, we are here, like, we're not going to go on and be something different. Like, this should be the foundation of what we're taught, mm-hmm. as well as mindset and how to communicate healthfully and eat well. And, you know, just, it's crazy. Yeah, it just makes you want to shake somebody. It's like, why is it like this?
Yeah, I completely agree. And again, the more I do, the more frustrated I become, because I don't know a single woman who is given all this information, but I also don't know a single woman who's just cruised through totally. Without struggling at some point in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so it's so unnecessary. We don't deserve this. And then I think because this conversation is so wrapped up in that internalized shame, this, you know, my period is dirty, I'm dirty, mm-hmm. it's sinful, or it's shameful, or it's taboo, you know. I remember being taught from a young age, again, when you're on your period, stash your tampons mm-hmm. or your pads up your sleeve, because nobody wants to know you're on your period. And again, it becomes this euphemism, like, I can't talk about it. And so we internalize that shame. And there's this level as well, I think we almost feel like it's our fault when we're struggling mm-hmm. because we're not able to talk about these things, because we don't share these things, because it's still so difficult for so many women to sit down even with their best friends and say, God, my period was hell this month. I really struggled. It's really hard because we have been taught all of these things when we should be taught a completely different way.
And where do you think that comes from? Like, based on all the research you've done and the learnings you've done, why are we here? It feels so, it doesn't even feel archaic, because I feel like ancient cultures aren't like that. Like, where we are, like, the weird ones. Like, where did this come from?
I think that's it, though, isn't it? Again, the ancient cultures, and this is something I love talking about when I give workshops or when I work with women. It wasn't always this way. Mm-hmm. There was a time, you know, and there are still cultures around the world that value women's cycles, our bodies, and things, that see them as sacred. But what if it wasn't always the way? I always plant this seed. What if there is another way? What if you could actually believe that you are sacred just as you are, without needing to lose weight, without needing to change, without needing to hold on to your youth forever and all these things? But I think there's so many layers to it about why we come into this, why we hold this shame. Mm-hmm. And obviously societal conditioning is a massive, massive one. We can't escape that fact. I mean, just until recently in the UK, when you would go down the aisle in the supermarket to buy, you know, your pads, your tampons, It was called sanitary products. And again, it's that association. What is that telling you? That subconscious brain, what is that telling your brain? It's that lack of education. It's that you can't talk about it, kind of shame, that stigma. And I mean, my mom didn't really talk about it. My nana definitely didn't talk about it. You know, those older generations, they 100% didn't talk about these things. And we hold on to that. But I also think there's this element as well, when we are struggling, we're not given this information, so we don't know how to support our bodies. So many of us do struggle. And so we learn to associate our bodies with pain, with suffering. And so essentially we shut down as well. We numb ourselves, we disconnect from our bodies. And with that, we also often disconnect from our intuition, from our power, from our wisdom. And so again, there's all these layers, so many layers to it. But I think it massively starts with that lack of education and that societal conditioning that, yeah, this is shameful. We don't talk about this. Nobody wants to hear about your period. Mm-hmm. Just here's some pads. There you go. Get on with it. It's going to be hell. You're going to suffer. You're going to struggle. But welcome to womanhood. There you go.
Yeah. Do you think it's because it's blood? Like, I love the quote. You did a reel and it was like shared. And I actually did like a remake of it because I was like getting people hyped up to talk about what you were going to be on the podcast today. Do you feel like it's because it's blood that it freaks people out, or because it's a woman, or because, like, what is it about the period? Because if we just thought of it as neutral, you know, like sweat, I mean, no one goes to the gym and they're like, oh my God, don't talk about the fact that you're sweating. You know, it's still a bodily fluid that's coming out of your body, but it's so acceptable. Like, oh, just like, rub it off. Is it because it's red? Like, why is it that there's so much charge around it? Is it because of its power, because it means reproduction? Is it because of the control of reproduction? Yeah. You know, like, I don't know. I'm just like, why is it so, there's so much charge around?
There is, yeah, 100%. And I think you covered everything essentially there. Again, I think it's layered. There's no one thing. Mm-hmm. But I always think when it comes to women's bodies, there is an inherent power to it. Mm-hmm. And when we are given the opportunity to feel this power, to feel into our magic, you know, we carry life force energy in us. We literally carry the cycles of life, death, of rebirth in our bodies. We carry all of those healing stem cells. We carry literal magic in our bodies. But when we're allowed to feel that, when we're allowed to really, really feel into that power and trust in our bodies and think, actually, this isn't a flaw, this isn't taboo, this isn't disgusting, this isn't dirty, this is powerful, mm-hmm. then we become powerful. We are less easily manipulated, we are less easily sold to. And again, we're able to trust in ourselves, we're able to trust in our bodies, in our own intuition, in our own magic, in our own power. And so again, I think there is an element that it's blood and it's bodily fluids and it's yuck and it's disgusting. Although nobody reacts like that when it's a nosebleed, for example.
Totally.
So, but that I also do think there's an element that women's power has been feared for a very, very long time. I know we've had our power eroded for thousands of years, mm-hmm. for thousands of years. And so I do think it's very much part of that. And, you know, that narrative that we're hysterical, that we are too much. All of these things. There's just so much to unpack. Honestly, I could talk about this topic for hours.
I know. I mean, it deserves a whole like textbook. Yeah. That's amazing. So you have a book that you've written. I don't know if you want to talk about what's in that, but I guess I would love to know, if you were in charge of the world or if you could wave a magic wand, like, what do you think should change? If someone's listening to this and be like, okay, well, what could be different? Like, how could we do things differently? What would you say?
And now a quick word from our sponsor. We've partnered with Nita to bring you this episode. Stress is something that many people can experience along the fertility journey, and it's something that influences how they handle oxidative damage. That's why supporting overall cellular health can be super valuable at any stage along the fertility journey. One product I personally love recommending is Nita's A Quality Support. I helped contribute to formulating this product, but even if I hadn't, I would still be confident recommending it because it's so great. It's designed to provide antioxidant and mitochondrial support with ingredients like L-carnitine, green tea extract, ALA, and PQQ.
I also love pairing it with Needed's comprehensive prenatal and their CoQ10 for a comprehensive approach. Visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Again, visit thisisneeded.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20%. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Okay, back to the show.
The thing that I most, and there are lots of things that I would like to change, really. There are lots of things I would like to change. But the thing I am most passionate about right now is changing the narrative around female anger. It's the topic that lights me up the most, that excites me the most. It's the topic that's affected me the most because I was naturally a very fiery, feisty child. I was, for want of a better word, I was a born leader. I was very confident, very vocal. But obviously being a girl and reaching puberty, that got squashed out of me. I wasn't allowed to be those things. I was told that it was toxic. It was too much. And, you know, I became scared of my anger. I became scared of that fire. Mm-hmm. And so I put that fire out. I dampen myself. I just douse myself in water. And I lost huge, huge parts of myself. I became the good girl for a long time and people pleased and wore all these masks, put everyone else's needs above my own. And I think so many women, so many girls will relate to this, need to play the good girl, this fear, this shame around certain emotions, around their anger. And yet, again, obviously, when we swallow those emotions, when we're trained to wear a mask, to be the good girl, it affects our health. It affects our hormones. It means we're less vibrant. We're full of less, you know, we're full of less energy. That doesn't make sense, but we have less energy to put out into the world. We feel disconnected from ourselves. We're more likely to struggle with hormonal imbalances. And then, of course, the one part of our cycle in our luteal phase where this anger rises and simmers and bubbles and explodes out of us very often. Mm-hmm. Again, it's demonized. It's pathologized. It becomes you're too hormonal. You're too much. Again, the problem lies with us. And so, again, we lose this power. We fear our power. We fear our voices. We fear our anger. We fear our emotions. We swallow it down again. And it just has this huge, huge impact on us. And I think this is why I'm so passionate about this narrative of female anger, of female rage, because it has been squashed out of us for so long. We have been told we can't feel this for so long. And yet it's such a powerful emotion. Your anger is sacred. I would say your anger comes from the part of you that most loves you. It's very much related to healthy boundaries, to expression of your needs, to recognizing when a line has been crossed, or perhaps when you haven't been put first and you deserve more. And so your anger is medicinal in so many ways. And so that's one thing I would change. I would go back to my inner child, to so many little girls, and say, actually, your anger is amazing. You are amazing. Keep this anger, keep this fire, keep this power. It is incredible. It is astonishing. It will serve you well. And so that's the one thing I would love to change right now.
I love that. That is so cool and totally not what I thought you would say. And I love it. I love that you said that. And it's so interesting, as I'm sure you know this too, but for our listeners who don't know, you know, anger is so connected to the liver and the liver energy, and our liver is where we process our hormones. And so, you know, even in like the Chinese medicine world, suppressed anger is such a energetic root cause of liver stagnation and detox issues in relation to hormones. And so, you know, I think in the conventional Western mindset of medicine, they just separate mental, emotional, and physical, and CM is like two separate things, but that's the farthest from the truth. They're so interconnected. And it's so funny because I went to one of the doctors in my naturopathic medical school. He was really big into Chinese medicine, and he always told me, he's like, you have so much suppressed anger. I was like, do I? I was like, I don't even know. I couldn't even tap into it. I'm like, and he's like, I can feel it. And like, I've always had liver issues, you know, and hormonal issues, and probably, you know, a big part of that, I mean, it's multifactorial, like everything, but it was like, I didn't even know how to connect to anger. Like, I can't even get angry, you know? And it's just so, so crazy how for you, you feel like you had it, but it was squashed. And for me, it was like, I can't even connect to that side of myself, you know, which is so interesting.
I work with so many women who say they can't connect to their anger as well, that they just don't even know how to feel angry. They know it's there on some level. Yeah. They know they feel it. And it's for me as well. I completely agree. It comes out in those liver issues. I had a lot of liver issues as well, except with that swallowed anger. I also see it a lot in histamine issues. It's almost like that, you know, that internalized rage becomes internalized fire almost. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's that fire wanting to come out, but it has to go turn inwards when we don't express it. I see it in insomnia and just so many different things. This, again, because for whatever reason, whether we weren't shown how to express our anger or how to use that anger, or whether we had it squashed out of us and we were told we had to be a certain way to be a woman, to be a girl, we had to swallow it down, or when we, whether we were ashamed, because so many women are shamed for that anger. Again, it becomes pathologized or demonized, or you're so hormonal, or you're hysterical, or you're too much. Then again, we just don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to express it. And again, it doesn't leave the body. Like you say, mind and body, they're not separate, even though a lot of Western medicine treats mind and body as separate. They're not separate.
Right.
And so it's so important for health, for hormones, to find ways to connect to it that don't overwhelm you at first, because we don't want to go into full on rage fests if, you know, if your nervous system's like, whoa, what is this? That's too much. But again, we want to find ways to support that anger and to release it, to get it out there. And, you know, for me, my anger is connected to my power. It's one of the reasons why I was birthed into this world, I think, is to help find that anger, to release that anger. It's been such a big part of my journey. That's why I'm so passionate about it. And let's face it, we live in a world right now where all women are feeling that anger, are feeling that rage. And it's a healthy, valid emotion to have. And I just, again, I want women to understand that it's a healthy, valid emotion as well. It's not that something's wrong with you. It's, like I said, it's medicinal.
So what would you tell someone like me or somebody else listening? How do you... what is like a tip or two or something on how to either connect with the anger or get it out, like move it through your body or whatever it is that you would say? Like what would be?
I think there's no one size fits all with it. So it depends very much on your capacity, I think, on your nervous system and where your nervous system is. It's like a really gentle way is just placing your hands over your liver, like rubbing your hands together as well. So you've got that warmth. So it actually feels nice when you place your hands there and you've got that energy as well. And just gently placing your hands over your liver and just saying, I see you, just breathing into that space. I see you. I feel you. I hear you. I'm listening. And you don't have to, you know, ask questions. What's here? What emotions are here? What memories are here? Again, just that I'm listening. I'm going to listen. I'm going to open this dialogue with you. For some women, again, it can be, I like the somatic wall pressing, or again, or you can press into your hands. So again, discharging that energy. And for anybody who can't see, just again, literally pushing your palms together and allowing that energy to start discharging when you feel anger. Or again, you can push into the wall. And again, you can emit that growl or a sigh, if you like, on the exhale, and just let that energy shift from the body. Shaking it off is another one that I really like as well. And for me, my favorite, I love boxing. So that's one that I love to do. Badass at boxing. It makes me
everyone's hormone really, goddess boxer.
Everyone's always really surprised. My friend was going through a really hard time with her relationship. This is when I got into boxing, when I was going through my divorce. It's a very hard time, and so that's how I allowed that anger to come out. And so when my friend was going through a hard time in her relationship, I was like, I'm taking you boxing. And she's like, oh my god, I didn't know you could punch like this. I didn't know you could do this. I was like, yeah, I'm a badass. It just made, again, it's a really, really healthy way for me to express that anger, to tap into that masculine energy in a way that feels good for me. I have clients as well that I tell them to put on stompy boots, like big chunky Doc Martin boots, literally go and stomp through fields, through woodland, through mud, and just get that anger out. It can look like pillow slamming as well. So lifting a pillow above your head and slamming it into the floor. So there are so many different ways. It doesn't need to be explosive or aggressive or like an attack on somebody or anything like that. There are just lots of ways you can start to channel and vocalize that anger. But then I think it's just really important, once you've had that activation, to just come back to that grounding, to kind of orient yourself to the room around you to just, again, to let your body to just know it's safe, and it can discharge that energy, but it can come back to regulation as well. Sorry, I've just given you loads of ideas.
No, that was great. It was so great. I actually did an exercise like this. My sister does a lot of work with trauma therapy, and I've done a lot of my own work too. Like, I talk about that a lot on here, and just how many layers there are and so much processing, and even just, you know, one event can have multiple layers that you have to get through over years and years. And I remember she had me do an exercise like that where gosh, where was it? It's like I almost blocked it out, but it wasn't even that long ago. But I was hitting stuff. So she got like a bunch of pillows, like the cushions from our couch, and a bunch of pillows in like this big center. And I had like a bat, and she like led me through this meditation to get really, really deep into my anger. It was around, a lot of it was like, I think it was around our infertility. Mm-hmm. I think this was because we had a long, long infertility journey, and just the unfairness of it, and just how frustrated, you know, and sad. And so much of that grief and that sadness is really under this anger, but we just don't connect to it, like you said. And so she just had me like beat this pillow thing and like say out loud, like why I was so sad and upset, you know, and I was crying. And it was so uncomfortable for me because it's so hard for me to connect to my anger. But I remember it being so therapeutic and cathartic. And I think it really made a huge leap for me in processing so much more than I could have ever had in talk therapy or even in hypnosis type, you know, support. And so I am not the person, for those listening, I am not the person who typically goes into the somatic work on my own. Like if I'm upset, I'm not going to go stomp around. I'm literally just going to be like, oh, you know, it's just not my nature. But I just want to like give a personal experience too of how that can be so powerful. So everything that you recommended, I think, are such great things that people can try. And even if they don't think that they need it, it might be worth just, you know, getting into. Yeah. I love that. That's so great. There's also, you probably know this as well, but I saw a YouTube video a couple years ago of, I don't know if you'd call it a dance or if it's a ceremony that they do in New Zealand whenever somebody dies. And it was like a group of students, I think it was at a school, and it's this like crazy, like almost tribal dance, and they stomp and they growl and they yell. And it's this like, it's a synchronized dance. They all know it. But the amount of energy like coming out of these people, I mean, it looks like they're angry, like a war dance, but I think it's a part of their culture and their practice, especially when like bad things happen. But I was like, how therapeutic and healing is that? Or how much would that be if an entire society did that after something bad happened, and how much less of that would be internalized on them, you know? I just thought it was
that unity and that connection in it as well, that you're not alone in this. We hold you as well. And we see you, and we're in this with you. That's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
It was really cool. It had a name, but you know, New Zealand words, like I would probably butcher it anyways, but it was cool if anyone wants to look it up. But I want to talk about the nervous system. So you'd mentioned that. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the connection between the nervous system and our hormones, because they kind of seem like they'd be separate, right? But why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, essentially, I think the shortened version of it is, if your body, for whatever reason, and you know, our nervous system is very primal, it's not necessarily evolved for modern day life. Our nervous system, our stress response is much the same as if we were running from an angry bear, from an angry lion, whether we're, you know, we're replying to emails, running for the bus, dashing around on the school run, which is always my one in the morning, and super stressed, and they've lost socks or shoes and all of these things. But our nervous system essentially responds in much the same way. And so I always say it's not, because I think we demonize cortisol, we demonize stress as well. So I always say stress and cortisol in themselves, they're not a bad thing. You can have youth stress, which is a good stress. And cortisol, you know, it helps us get up in the morning. It helps us wake up. If you have low cortisol, you'll also know about it. Mm-hmm. And so they're not bad things inherently. But when we have chronic stress, when we have chronically high cortisol, for example, that's when it can have that impact on the body. And so again, when our bodies don't feel safe, they prioritize our safety above all else, because your body loves you. Your body wants to keep you safe. Your body wants you to survive. But because of this, because your body prioritizes this, because your nervous system, your response is very primal, again, it prioritizes your safety above things like reproduction, above things like digestion or your immune system. And so again, your reproductive hormones aren't necessarily a priority. And so you might struggle with missing ovulation, for example. You might struggle with low progesterone because we need ovulation to happen for progesterone. There's a relationship between cortisol and progesterone, where if cortisol is chronically high, we might have low progesterone. And so all of these things essentially come from that nervous system over activation, because essentially our bodies are trying to keep us safe. And when they're trying to keep us safe, our hormones aren't necessarily a priority. That reproduction isn't necessarily a priority. Mm-hmm. So we have these knock-on effects that affect our thyroid, our metabolism, our blood sugar balance, all of these things. And again, you know, our body doesn't work in isolation. They all work, everything works together in harmony, or should work together in harmony. And so one thing can have this massive impact downstream, if you like. And so we start to see all of these symptoms.
Did you know proper hydration and mineral balance are key for hormone health, fertility, and preparing for pregnancy? This is why Dr. Morgan and I love Relight by Redmond's, the real salt people. A USA-made electrolyte powder with unrefined sea salt, over 60 trace minerals, plus bioavailable forms of potassium, calcium, and two forms of magnesium, malate and glycinate. These minerals support hormones, hydration, energy, and overall health. The best part is they taste delicious. I'm really picky about how things taste, and so you can rest assured this is Dr. Leah approved. I love lemon lime, but I know Dr. Morgan is a strawberry lemonade gal. Head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% off your order of electrolytes, real sea salt, natural toothpaste, and so much more. Again, head to redmond.life and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%. Happy hydrating on your womanhood and fertility journey.
It's amazing. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And could you just imagine how different our world would be if modern medicine made those connections and like that was what we were taught when we went to the doctor?
No doctor's ever asked me that. What's going on with your life?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember very vividly when my marriage was breaking down, and my marriage broke down a week before I gave birth to my middle boy.
Oh my goodness.
There was a lot of trauma in that marriage breakdown. There was a lot to it. And so immediately after I gave birth, I was rock bottom. I was not sleeping. I couldn't, well, you don't sleep with a newborn very well anyway, but I was a mess. And so I went to the doctor and I told them everything that had happened. I told them all these traumas that had happened. And they said, "You've got postnatal depression." And I said, "I haven't got postnatal depression. Can you, I've been through a lot of trauma. It's nothing to do with having given birth."
Yeah.
And they just were adamant that I had had postnatal depression. They would not listen to me. And so that's forever on my medical notes now, that I had postnatal depression, even though I had no postnatal depression. Mm-hmm. They prescribed me antidepressants, even though I just needed to be listened to. I just wanted support. I don't want antidepressants. I'm not depressed. I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah. Right.
And so again, there's so little awareness and knowledge, and the amount of times where, again, I didn't even realize or make the connection that I was struggling with my health and my hormones, but it was all to do with all these things I'd been through. Mm-hmm. And not once did I get asked, okay, what's your stress levels like? What have you been through lately? What might have changed in your life that might have led to this? What can we help you with? Have you got anyone to talk to? All of these things, such obvious questions to me. And yet not one doctor ever asked me.
I know. It blows my mind too, because obviously I'm a different kind of doctor. So that's exactly what we do. and I'm always just blown away that that's just not, you know, but my appointments are much longer. I do an entire timeline of everybody's life, you know, from birth forward and all the things, you know. And when you do that, finding the root cause of stuff is so not easy, but it's very obvious, you know, of like what led to what, because we are complex beings, but we're also, things make sense when you like understand that. And so it is so sad that that's not the normal model at all. And it just breaks my heart. So when you talk about women and their hormones and their power, and like if a woman's listening to this and she has an obvious hormonal imbalance, maybe it is PMS, you know, like the pathologized issue of it, or painful periods or heavy periods or acne or sleep issues or weight issues or thyroid issues or postpartum stuff or whatever,
if someone were to work with you or in the way that you see this, what are kind of the first steps? Like, do you ever recommend herbs to help with hormones, or is it almost all in the body, in the somatics, or in the processing of trauma? Or like, how is it that you go about looking at supporting hormonal imbalance? Because there's a lot of angles and there's a lot of layers and there's a ladder, you know, and there's, I'm just curious what your philosophy and approach is.
For me, first is I just listen. I think that for me is one of the most healing things we can do for anybody who's struggling with their health, for anybody who's struggling with our hormones. And it's especially important for women. You know, our nervous systems have evolved for that connection. You know, that connection is so important for us as women. You know, oxytocin, the love hormone, is one of the main regulators of our nervous system. It's what it helps to regulate our menstrual cycles as well. And so again, this act of feeling safe, feeling seen, feeling heard and held, just in itself can be powerfully, powerfully healing. And so I think that's always the main thing. I create this space where women can talk and they can share. And like you say, try to get a better understanding of their life story, because it often comes from childhood or even when we were in our mum's womb, or maybe even from our ancestors itself as well, because it's not always just with us. It can be that epigenetic imprint, or, you know, that mitochondrial DNA. We carry that maternal lineage in our mitochondria. And what I've come to realize, you know, and this was myself as well. When I was born into this world, my body never felt safe. My mum, she nearly died when she was having me. She struggled with her mental health a lot when I was younger, and probably when I was in utero. And so my nervous system, you know, it never ever felt safe. And so what I've realized is that shaped so much of my life. And I mean, there's research that shows our oxytocin levels that can be impacted by, you know, our mum's birth trauma, for example, by our childhood traumas as well. And again, oxytocin is so important for so many things, for our nervous system, for our menstrual cycles as well. And so just having this awareness, this understanding of where things might have started and where that support might need to come in and what work might need to happen is really, really powerful. But again, holding that space as well to listen, because most of us have never been invited to talk about ourselves, to share our stories. And I think sometimes even in that act of when we're talking, when we're sharing, we can make those connections, we can pull those threads together and go, huh, I didn't even realize that. I think that might have really influenced, might have really affected me. But of course, there's a lot of work that goes alongside that. So a lot of circadian rhythm. I always say it's a really powerful place for women to start with your circadian rhythm. It's free. You know, we can all get that natural light exposure limit. I say in front of a massive light right now when it's so hard. But it is, it's one of those free things that we can all do to just gently support our circadian rhythm, which then obviously supports our digestion. It supports our energy, our thyroid, our hormones, our cortisol, all these things. So that's a really powerful thing. Obviously nutrition and blood sugar balance are so important as well. But then there might as well be those deeper layers, so those nervous system shifts. So the somatic work, helping our bodies to feel safe again. So helping to bring that sense of safety back to the body. But I also love to do womb work. So womb work is my absolute favorite thing to do with women. And
yeah, again, tell us about that for women who don't know what that means.
I love it. So essentially, it's helping women to reconnect to their womb space. And so when I talk about womb work, it is that portal, that energetic portal of the womb space. So if women don't have a physical womb for whatever reason, again, you can still do womb work. It's that energetic portal. But our womb, I know we've been conditioned to think of our wombs as just about reproduction, as just about menstrual cycles, as just, you know, this physical organ. But our wombs are the center of our feminine power, of our intuition, of our magic, our wisdom, our deep knowing. They're such a powerful portal when it comes to creativity as well, to transformation, to, you know, they carry the codes of life, death, rebirth. And so they're a really powerful feminine energy center for women to begin working with. And because for all the reasons we've talked about already, because of how we've been taught to numb or silence our bodies or disconnect from our bodies, many of us, again, have been taught to disconnect from our womb spaces, to think with our mind all the time, you know, to think rationally or logically, or, you know, always push, always do, always go, 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 always hustle. And so when we come back to our bodies, when we start to reconnect to our wombs, but our bodies generally, again, we can access this source of power, of intuition, of wisdom. But because, again, like much of our body, our wombs can hold on to our stories, our memories, our traumas as well. We can start to understand what we're ready to release, what we're ready to shed and let go of as well, and what will help to bring us even deeper healing. And what I always love, one of my favorite conversations, is how your womb connects to your throat. And so there's that physical, there's a biological and spiritual connection between our wombs and our throats. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really powerful, powerful piece of work to do as well for women who, again, don't feel like they can speak up, who don't feel like they can connect to their anger, who don't feel like they can express themselves or speak their truth. Womb work is just, it's just magical on so many levels. And I just, like I said, I just love doing it. I love it.
That's amazing. So is womb work more physical or more energetic? Like, is that something, if someone were to work with you, where you have people come to you physically, sort of like Mayan abdominal massage, or is it more energetic, like doing meditation, like chakra type stuff? Like, what is it? Or maybe it's all of it.
It can be all of it. I don't do the more physical side, but you're absolutely right. So that can be part of womb work as well. You could do womb massage, all those kind of things. But for me, it's that energetic work, that energetic connection. But sometimes it is just that physical connection, just placing hands there. Again, I see you, I feel you, I'm listening. Or gentle massage as well, or stroking. So I, again, talking about oxytocin, like our wombs are full of oxytocin receptors. Our ovaries have lots of oxytocin receptors. Mm-hmm. And so again, just these acts of just gently stroking our bodies, massaging our bodies, touching ourselves with love can bring deep healing to our wombs, can bring deep healing to our hormones as well. So it can be that physical work, but it can also be energetic as well.
Oh, I love that. It's so great. So what else? What else are some key things if you were like, these are kind of non-negotiables around hormones that feel really important, other than, you know, what we've talked about, being heard, being listened to, the nervous system work, the circadian rhythm work, doing the womb work. Is there anything else that feels really important to talk about for women who are listening?
Joy and pleasure. I always think this is such a missing piece. And, you know, nutrition is so important. Blood sugars are important. Nervous system's important. But very often we miss this piece of the puzzle that actually your life is meant to be full of joy. You're not meant to, you know, I know nobody's life is always joyful, and that's okay. That's not the goal either. But we're also meant to feel joy and pleasure. And so I always say to women, what does bring you joy? Mm-hmm. How often do you cut out time, carve out time for joy, for pleasure? What do you do consciously for this? How do you feel about experiencing joy and pleasure? And so just for as an example, I, you know, every Friday morning, so tomorrow morning, we're talking on Thursday,
yay,
I go to my local bakery store and I buy pastries. I love pastries. It's my favorite food in the whole planet. I'm tired of croissants and pastries. And so I buy myself a bag of pastries for Saturday morning. So when I get up in the morning, I can have a coffee, I have a hot pastry. And again, it just brings me so much joy and so much pleasure.
Love that.
And again, we have this idea that health and wellness has to look a certain way, that we have to eat certain things or do certain things. But again, how often do you just make time for joy, for pleasure? That's another one for me, dance, and to just dance and express yourself just because it makes you happy. Yeah. Or how do you move your body in a way that brings joy rather than thinking, I need to build muscle, I need to strength training, and that's, you know, strength training is amazing. Mm-hmm. How do you move your body? Just because it makes you happy, brings you joy, brings you pleasure. You know, I just, every day I try to put on songs and just dance, and I am so uncoordinated. I'm not a good dancer at all. It just brings me so much pleasure and happiness to just connect to my body and let my body move however it wants to move.
Let's take a moment to hear a word from one of our sponsors. If you are wanting to balance your hormones and support your liver, your digestion, your sleep, your overall health, whether you're preparing for pregnancy or not, you have to check out Earthly Wellness. I love herbal tinctures. When you mix different herbs together, you get a synergistic effect that's even more powerful than if you were to take the herbs alone. And you don't have to take a handful of capsules. Yet finding good blends that are effective and that actually taste good is really hard. So I was thrilled when we discovered Earthly. For hormones and detox support, I would recommend their Liver Love, their Lymphatic Drainage, and their Detox Defense tinctures. To support stress in the immune system, consider their Adaptogenic and Immune Support tincture and their Sleepy Time tincture if you are looking for support with sleep. And they also have a blend called Nourish Her Naturally, which has some of my favorite herbs, such as dandelion, red raspberry leaf, spearmint, and nettles, and it tastes delicious. They even have a magnesium cream that you can rub on your feet at night to support sleep, stress, and your hormones. Their site is incredible. They have so much to offer, and their tinctures are absolutely delicious. Many of them are in a glycerite. My kids absolutely love them. They hold their mouth open like little birdies waiting for their Earthly tinctures. It's so cute. Head to earthly.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 10% on all their different products. You will be amazed at what they have. Earthly.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 10%. Okay, now back to the show. I love that. I'm so glad you brought that up. I think it is such an under-talked about, very important thing, and something I think a lot of women have a hard time connecting to, or at least in the way I was raised. I can't speak for everybody in the United States. Like, it's not a general sense, but at least the way I was raised, it was like productivity. Every moment needs to be productive. You know, that's so masculine energy. And I do a lot with fertility and connecting to feminine energy for fertility, because in the fertility space, it's so tricky. There's all of these things of navigating things that you need to like learn and know about and do. But then on the flip side, also holding the space for the feminine energy, which is joy for the sake of joy, doing things for no productive reason, right? It's just like being. And that has been very hard for me. And so I guess just like you with your anger, it's something that I've recognized within myself and see in so many other women. And so I try to teach and talk about, and it's something I'm still, you know, always ongoingly trying to create.
Oh, me too.
You know, it's that feminine energy, but what you describe, and you know, I used to dance all the time. I used to dance in middle school and high school and college. It was such a core part of my life. And, you know, I just don't do it anymore. And I feel like in my sexuality and my desire and libido, once I went to medical school, it's like there was no time, or I didn't create the time for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that I lost a big part of myself, and it was so much of that feminine part that I was fostering and nurturing that I didn't even realize. You know, it's like not like people, I'm going to go dance and foster my feminine energy. Like, people don't necessarily think that, but I was tilted so much farther into the masculine energy, you know, being in school and studying and learning and tests and like blah, blah, blah. Like, there's lots of masculine energy, and it really affects us as women. And I think that we're raised that way, not only in our societies and our households, you know, get a good job, go to college, do these things, but also in our society of like the way that I was raised, it's like weekends were for working. And not that it was bad, because a lot of it was gardening or being outside, and like that is really beautiful, but it was just always productive. Like, you always have to be producing something. And like joy. I mean, when I go on vacation, especially when I've been to Europe, I'm like the happiest person ever. I think because I really can tap into that of like, there is no purpose here. Like, we are just here to eat croissants, and it is the best thing ever, you know? And like, how do we create that in our daily lives? I love that. I love your croissant example. And just like whatever that is for people. For me, it's taking baths and reading romantic novels.
For me as well. I love that.
That's like my favorite thing.
I'm with you though. That's my idea of joy as well. And there are so many levels of it. But I think so many women, I relate to what you said. I spent 90% of my life in my masculine energy. I had no idea I was always in my masculine. And again, it's something I'm still learning to unpick and untangle. It's not something I have all figured out. I think we have this idea as well when we see people working in these spaces that they've got everything figured out, and that's not true either. I absolutely haven't. Yeah. I'm still untangling things too. Sometimes I feel guilty for rest. Sometimes I feel guilty for connecting to that pleasure. Sometimes I feel disconnected or numbed out, and all of these things. But I completely relate, because I spent so much time in my masculine, so much time just chronically working, chronically hustling. Some of it was because I was needed to, you know, it was related to my trauma. I had to work, I had to hustle. But a lot of it as well was, I thought I had to. I thought that's what it meant to be successful. I thought that's what it meant to be in this world, that I had to always wear this mask and be somebody that I wasn't, who would have to, you know, I was conditioned to see rest as shameful and rest as lazy and all of these things. And, you know, who are you to want pleasure? Who are you to want joy in your life? And so again, it's something I've had to really unpick and untangle and work with, and I probably will be forever. But just with the dance, for example, I started that to support my fascia. So I the older I get, the more like I wake up in the morning, I'm like, okay, I really need to start moving my fascia. It's getting stiff. And so I started dancing, because obviously our fascia moves in like some moving spirals. So that, you know, but then when I was doing it, I was like, actually, I just really enjoy this. It just makes me really, really happy. And to just connect to my body in this way with nobody watching, just connecting to my body in a way for me that brings me pleasure in that moment, that comes to me in that moment, that's it's just the best. It's just, again, it brings me so much joy.
I love that. You've inspired me to do this with my daughter. I used to do this ecstatic dancing when I lived back in California.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah. And it's like, you're just in a room with people and there's like no judgment. It's like very conscious music, and you just move exactly what feels like how you want to move. And for me, it's, even though I was a dancer, it felt very uncomfortable, because it's like, but what are we doing? Like, what is the dance? And, you know, I do a lot of couples dancing. And so I love following, you know, in couples dancing, and then I would do like proper dance where we'd have a routine or whatever. And so just the free dance of, there is nothing, like, you, whatever is coming from your own internal desire to move your body, that for if it was very uncomfortable for me to do that. But I would force myself to, because it was like therapeutic, it was medicine, it was so different than what I was used to. But I see my daughter move in that way inherently. She's 4. And I just really want to like foster and nurture that in her more. And so you've inspired me to make sure that we always create space for that, to do more of that just free flow dance, because I think it is so healing. And anybody listening, you know, we're so trained in our society too of like, we need a pill or we need a potion or we need whatever. And so much of our hormonal imbalance comes from these bigger things. They're like subtler. The way I see it, I think in analogies. And so the way I see it is like a bullet, you know, maybe a pharmaceutical is like a bullet. Maybe an herb is like a, I don't know, like a big cannonball or something. But these things that we're talking about, the joy, the nervous system, the trauma, the anger, they're like a giant, I don't know, like, there's just like, it's bigger. It's not as like tingy, like targeted like a bullet. But if you miss or it's not correct, it's like it doesn't help anything else. Like if that pharmaceutical isn't the correct thing for you, it's like not only is it worthless, it could cause damage, you know. Absolutely. And the herb maybe is a more bigger target that it could hit. But, you know, these foundations, it's like it hits no matter what. It might not be as like tingy. Like we don't think it's like going to be effective. Like, oh, get sun on our eyes. Like, what's that going to do? Because it feels so subtle, it feels so less like sexy, but it is like
free as well. We're conditioned to think
it's all this stuff is free, and it's like it is so big that it doesn't matter where you aim, you're hitting the target, you know, like in such a big way. I don't even know what's bigger than a cannon, like something much bigger. Like it doesn't matter. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I'm thinking of, like, if you're trying to get to the target of healing, like hormonal imbalance, that these things seem less like effective because they're not a bullet, but they are actually the most effective because they are like, they're the whole thing. They like knock over the whole target, you know?
I agree. I always see, and I know we're so conditioned to think of our hormones, to loathe and curse our hormones and blame our hormones. And I get it. When we're struggling with hormonal imbalances, it's really hard to think, yeah, my body really does love me. It's because it can be so overwhelming, because our hormones can influence so much. It can be really difficult to think like that. But our hormones, you know, as you know, they're messengers. Our hormones are reflecting. I would say they're like mirrors. They reflect your inner and outer world. So they're just reflecting back to you. What needs more love? What needs more nourishment? What needs more joy? What are your relationships like? All of these things can affect, impact your hormones. And so usually, you know, your hormone imbalances, they're not the root cause. That's not the root cause.
Right.
Very, very often, I see the root cause is that separation from self. Mm. You know, we've separated from ourselves. We've separated from our joy. We've separated from connection. We've separated from our emotions, from our feelings, from our authentic self. And I often see that with healing, and I don't really like the word healing, but we all understand the word of healing. It's about coming back to that childhood self that you so beautifully described, you know, like your four-year-old daughter. She does these things without thinking. It's coming back to that, like me with my younger self, that fiery, passionate, angry self who was so vocal and so, yeah, I'm here to lead. I'm here to do this. I know that. And so often it is about coming back to that little self. Like, what did she want to do? What lit her up? What did brought her joy? And finding our way back to that authenticity, I think. That's how I see it, essentially.
I love that. Oh, this is so good. This has been such a good conversation. Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you want to leave women with, as far as like, if you could reach, not that our podcast reaches every woman, but you know, you reach more women in every time that we share, like, is there any other nugget or tips or thoughts or feelings or anything that you want to impart before we sort of wrap up?
Yeah, I think it's mostly to just trust in yourself, just trust in your magic, trust in your body. And again, I know it's not that easy. It's not, you know, my words are probably not going to eradicate 40 years, 50 years, 30 years, whatever it may be of that conditioning. But just start to just plant these seeds that maybe I am enough. Maybe I do know the answers. Maybe my body knows. Maybe my body isn't working against me. Maybe my body isn't broken. And actually, maybe, just maybe, I am enough as I am. My body is enough as it is. I don't need to shrink or change or hide away or be anything different. I am enough just as I am. And I always say to every woman I come across, to every woman I work with, your body is literally an altar to goddess. That is your body. Your body is an altar to goddess. Again, you don't have to shrink or change or do anything, but your body is sacred just as it is. So just, again, planting these seeds. Again, like I said, I'm probably not going to eradicate all of those years of conditioning, but just planting that seeds. Maybe, just maybe, my body is enough. Maybe, just maybe, I am enough. Maybe I'm actually sacred as I am.
Oh, that's amazing. You should write a children's book.
I'd love to. You know, when I had my astrological chart read once by a man, it was years ago before I'd done any work, I say work in inverted commas, and he said, why haven't you written a book yet? And I was like, I want to, but you know. And he was like, why aren't you working with children? And I was like, no. And so I think it is in, well, it's obviously in my chart somewhere that I'm meant to do these things. I would love one day to start a period school, again, to support girls. It's something that I feel is so needed. And the older I get as well, the older I get, the more I just want to take young girls, young women as under my wing and just breathe love into them and help them to see, again, the beauty and the magic of their body rather than it as this awful, scary thing. And so, yeah, one day I would love to. One day I would love to.
Oh, my God, you will. One day you will. And I think that that is so needed. And that's how, you know, women have been since the beginning of time. Like, the wisdom was passed on from woman to woman. And there was this beautiful, you know, understanding. And womanhood is confusing, you know? And so not having these guides and these supports of women who are not only helping you through it, but from an empowered lens, not just a, well, I'm just throwing my own trauma and my, just, you know, misunderstanding onto you as well.
I think that's it. And we live in a society which tells women when they age, you know, aging is a decline. We're meant to believe that aging is a decline, it's a deficiency, that we're broken, we're meant to, you know, shrivel and shrink and become invisible. But actually, again, traditionally, and still in many cultures as well, older women were known to hold wisdom and power, and they were revered and cherished. Mm-hmm. And so again, the older I get, the more I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to share that knowledge. I don't want other girls or women to go through what I had to go through.
Yeah.
I want them to know that there's a different way. And I feel like that's starting to awaken in so many of us that actually, no, we're not going to hide away the older we get. We're going to mm-hmm. speak out. We're going to share our wisdom. Things are going to be different.
Yeah.
I hope for the next generations down. Again, I hope it is so different for your daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, I have four boys, so but just, you know, for their partners, their girlfriends, mm-hmm. I just hope it's so, so different for those generations.
I hope so too. This has been amazing. I can totally see why you are the hormone goddess. That name is like so spot on for you. You have such goddess energy, which is so special and so needed. And I agree with everything that you're saying, especially around, you know, for every year that we are here on this planet, we have more to give in such a beautiful way to those around us. And so thank you for giving all your knowledge and wisdom. How can people learn more about you, work with you, get your book? Like, tell us all of the things.
So I don't have a website at the moment. That's been a work in progress for years. My ADHD brain, I think I am always like, yeah, I'm building it. And then it just never happens.
Yes.
So the best way is probably to reach me on Instagram. So @_hormone_goddess. And then my book is available to buy in many countries. So my book, Hormone Goddess, you can buy it in America, Canada, UK, Spain, Germany. There's a Spanish edition as well, which is super cool.
That's awesome.
So you can also buy my book. And that is essentially all the things that I wish I'd been taught. That book was written for my younger self and what I wish she had been taught, what the knowledge I wish she had been given. But I always love to chat, essentially. I just love to chat. I love women. I love hearing from other women. So, you know, my DMs are always open. I love to, I just love to chat and hear from women.
Amazing. Well, maybe I'll have you on as a guest inside of my membership, Womanhood Wellness, because I think that they would
love it. Honestly, I just love chatting with you. So
perfect.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, of course.
Thanks for having me on here.
Yes, this is so great. It's my own new friendship. That's what I love this podcast. It's like,
honestly, it makes me happy. I think this is the really cool thing about social media. I think it has a lot of flaws, obviously.
Yes.
But I get to chat to women like you and to connect with women all over the world who I've never gotten to chat with before. So it's amazing and I love it.
I feel the same way. We were definitely divinely orchestrated together. So thank you so much. And this has been an amazing episode. Thank you.
Thank you.
If your heart aches for a baby, whether you're dreaming of motherhood someday or you're already on the path and it hasn't been going as you imagined, I want you to know that you do not have to do this alone. Consider joining me inside of my Womanhood Wellness membership. You get a custom blueprint unique to your woman essence type, which is where you are right now on the journey. You have access to all of my courses and content, which includes how to boost egg and sperm quality, the energetics of fertility, investigating fertility, optimizing IVF if that's a path you have to go down, navigating pregnancy loss. I have my Essential Foundations course where you learn all the things that you really need to know to have a thriving hormonal infertility system. You learn the hormone handbook where I dive deep into all the different hormonal imbalances and what you can do naturally to rebalance them. I have deep dive courses on vaginal microbiome, in detoxing, on mindset. I give you my natural medicine protocols. You have the ability to order labs on your own. You get discounts on supplements and other products. I have organized the community by your season. So if you are breaking up with birth control, you can jump in a chat with women in that exact exact same season, if you are trying to conceive, or if you are going through pregnancy loss or infertility or IVF or low libido, there is a group of women who are going through the same thing. We also have full community areas like our breakfast club, where every Monday we share what we're having for breakfast to inspire each other, and our daily flow, where we connect as a collective community and do challenges and learn from each other in that way. On top of all of that, I do a monthly live Q&A where you can bring your questions, and they're always recorded so you can listen if you can't make them live. And then I have various calls with other practitioners like Sadie, our amazing personal development coach, and so many others, where you will be able to receive healing and learn other perspectives. Being a member inside Womanhood Wellness also gives you discounts to join my upcoming immersions. Take around 22 women for a month to dive deep into a specific topic like decoding desire or building your dream life or navigating painful periods or navigating unexplained infertility. This is the place that you want to be if you want to know all of the natural root cause and supportive measures that you can take to optimize your womanhood journey and your path to and through motherhood. Head to womanhoodwellness.com and use code podcast to save 20% off your first month. I can't wait to see you inside. In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.